Welcome to another episode of the Prime Flix Podcast, the 15-minute film discussion podcast. I'm your host, Ed. Each week on Prime Flix, we pick a film, watch it, and discuss it. Our films are always available to stream on Netflix and or Amazon Prime. Prime Flix is an affiliate podcast of the Stuff Smart People Like podcast. It features many of the same people you'll hear from week to week, so if you're interested in hearing more, you should check that out. My guest this week is Jordan. Some of you may remember Jordan from our first episode. Welcome back, Jordan. Our film for this week was the Werner Herzog documentary Into the Abyss. It was released in 2011. It's a documentary about the death penalty. It has a rating of 7.3 on IMDb, 91% on Rotten Tomatoes, and a 74 out of 100 on Metacritic. So, as always, I'd like to get the guest's thoughts right away. What do you think, Jordan? What was your takeaway from this movie?
And I do like documentaries. You know, we used to watch a lot when we lived together, actually. And then I am just generally a fan. But this one, I don't know. I had a harder time staying engaged and staying into it. It got kind of boring at parts. I think he overdid the use of pauses sometimes, like kind of just showing a clip and just keeping on it when there's just, you know, no dialogue, trying to get some emotion, but I thought it kind of fell flat in some parts. Also, I don't think he did a particularly good job at, I think it's kind of obvious from the documentary, he's against the death penalty. But I don't think he actually did a compelling, or he didn't compellingly portray either side of the pro or against.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you on that. When I'd first heard about this movie, I was working in DC and I was working in the criminal justice system, so to some degree, so I was interested in it and I wanted to go see it. It came out right around the same time as my birthday, but I didn't get a chance. So I was happy when it was on Netflix. And, you know, I think the opening for it was pretty strong.
Yeah.
It kind of opened strongly. And I thought, you know, I'm a pretty liberal person and I'm against the death penalty, and, you know, personally. And so I never expect a movie like this to sort of change my mind, but based on the kind of opening discussion of the specific case that they're examining in this movie, and I was thinking to myself that, you know, based on that opening, it was going to be one of those types of movies that would actually make me say, okay, well, maybe I need to re-examine this. Mm-hmm. But after about 20 or so minutes of it, it kind of fell flat as far as, like you said, compellingly. You know, even it wasn't, I don't know, maybe it was in a sense for balance that it was losing the ability to convincingly, you know, sort of convey either side of the argument.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Although, I know, and I get that, and it's balanced, but I think it would have been stronger if, you know, I guess I envision that they were a more effective way would have been, you know, that's kind of, I think, what he was trying to do, or at least it seemed to me that way, was to get people to kind of have to think about both sides. And so trying to, you know, give out some really kind of strong arguments both for and against, but that just wasn't the case. Like I said, mm-hmm. It was just kind of in the middle. I think he drifted more on the side of against, but it was just so, like you said, it starts off strong, but then it's just kind of bland the rest of the way through. And, you know, you're at that point, you just don't care about either side. So I think he just would have done a better job if he could have kind of, like I said, made really strong arguments on those extremes. So you have to kind of consider those extremes to figure out where you are somewhere in the middle area. But it just didn't do that whatsoever.
Yeah, I kind of, you know, thinking about the one interesting point of this, and I don't know, you know, maybe you can give me your take on it, but the standard way that you watch a 48 hours documentary drama type show on television is that, you know, there's some sort of resolution at the end, you know, something, you know, the court case, that's the way they usually build it. So mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time watching those types of things when I was younger. And those are normally based on a real life case, as this one was. But I thought it was really interesting that the film went from kind of discussing things with the person, I forget his name now, who was in, you know, on death row for this crime, kind of discussing things with him, showing him walk away, and then just like slipped in that, like, oh, he just he died, you know, they administered the death penalty and he's dead now and we're gonna continue on with the movie. I was sort of expecting, I guess, that to happen near the end.
Yeah,
you know, like just like they were gonna just say, okay, you know, end with like a credit saying he was executed, blah blah blah. But instead it's kind of like it just okay, yeah, that happened. Now let's continue on with making this film.
Well, I think that was intentional on his part. Like, I haven't done any extra reading on it, so I don't know. I'm just kind of speculating. Because then after that happens, I feel like he kind of contrasts and he's trying to make like a somewhat artistic, philosophical argument. Because then he goes back to that the woman who is married to the accomplice, right? The other guy, and
yeah,
she's pregnant.
Right.
So it's kind of like the, I think he was trying to make that, you know, this life ends, but then there's this new life that's coming out. And I didn't think it worked, but I think that's kind of what he was going for.
Yeah. And I think the interesting thing is that the only other documentary that I'm familiar with of his, we talked about this briefly before the podcast, is Grizzly Man. Mm-hmm. And that film is much more a non-standard documentary. It's much more piecing together Herzog narrating some things and also just like sort of footage that was recovered of this guy, this, you know, character that he's covering in that movie. This movie was much more of a standard documentary where it's, okay, set up this part of the case, now go interview this person, now go interview this person, now go interview, you know. Mm-hmm. And I thought that his interviewing was sort of lacking a lot of the people that, you know, that it and that was what didn't paint a convincing, part of the reason didn't paint a convincing picture for me is that he didn't bring out the types of stuff you were expecting. I mean, you know, there was like the guy holding up pictures of his brother or whatever, you know, almost like forced moments.
Yeah,
of
it seemed
emotionality.
It seemed fake, like almost. It just, like you said, it was an emotional, but it was hard to like get into that emotional part of the moment. It just, like you said, it kind of just seemed forced.
Yeah.
You know, I guess when I watch documentaries, there's like different reasons I like documentaries. So, you know, one is like if it goes into something, it's kind of like this subculture phenomenon that you don't know a lot about, and it kind of shows you a lot of interesting things about it. Kind of like, what was that one about the LARPers?
There's a couple of those.
Yeah.
There's Darkon. And I think that's probably the one you're talking
about.
Yeah,
that's the one. So, you know, kind of like this unique subgroup of people. So it was interesting. So that's like one kind, like this thing you don't know about, and they give you that. Another one is kind of like the real, like the ones that really get you kind of involved emotionally, kind of like Dear Zachary, right? That one did a really good job of like getting you into it and making you feel kind of what's going on. Another one, I think, and then outside of that, something that's really just more straight up like informative, you know, maybe something that you know kind of a little bit about and like really gets you into it, I guess, like four technically. And then another one where I thought this one could have gone was kind of picking a topic that everyone has an opinion about, or most people have an opinion about, but really making you consider your opinion, like having to really think through it.
Yeah, like a sociocultural type of documentary. I think that's actually like, I'm not sure, but Netflix sometimes recommends sociocultural, like political documentaries, like as their title. I think that's what you mean.
Yeah. And it just didn't do, it was trying to be that one, but it wasn't any of those. Exactly. So that's why it just didn't grab me at all.
So yeah, I think, overall, not amazing. I think, maybe his reputation preceded him a bit, and that was why he sort of got the benefit of the doubt as far as the ratings went for, these various, he had pretty high ratings across the board from users and also from the critics on this film. So, I think it was just, you know, and just that the nature of it lends a certain gravity to it, no matter what, whether it's a good film or not.
What was it on Rotten Tomatoes again?
91%.
I think that's way over.
Well, that's also just due to the fact that it was a limited release movie, so it's a different group of critics, I think, that are going into the total for that. But so if there's, you know, some other documentaries, other recommendations, obviously Grizzly Man, you said you hadn't seen it yourself, that was one I definitely recommend people check out, and it's also definitely available on streaming, I think, on both Prime and also on Netflix. That one is just surprisingly disturbing, and you know, especially you studying psychology, you'll find it very interesting because it's a very much like a case study of one person.
Mm-hmm.
This guy who's an activist and goes out to try to live with grizzly bears. So he's obviously you start out thinking that he's crazy, and then you start to kind of empathize with him and see, you know, sort of his perspective a little bit, and then you start to realize, you know, there are, I mean, he does a good job of showing some clips where you'd really genuinely realize he has some issues.
Yeah.
because this guy just basically documented all his own stuff while he was doing this, and this is kind of stringing together a lot of those clips. Mm-hmm. But as far as like true crime ones or ones that I thought did a better job, I mean, you mentioned Dear Zachary, that's a good one.
Yep.
Have you ever seen The Thin Blue Line?
That one I haven't yet.
That one is amazing. It goes through an entire court case, and it's just like gripping through the whole thing. And I think it gets, you know, it gets up there on those lists as being one of the better. That's Errol Morris. It's not Werner Herzog, but yeah, it's a really, really great kind of murder mystery type, true crime type one. Mm-hmm. And then one other one I was thinking of that's kind of disturbing in a different way is Brother's Keeper. If you've ever seen that
I've
one,
seen that one.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of, I guess, examples where this type of a film could have been done better. Mm-hmm. As far as the sociocultural side of it, I can't think of, a movie, you know, with the exception of some of the movies, like, you know, they don't particularly grab me, but they seem to have some effects on other people, like Fast Food Nation or something like that, you know, that sort of take one side of an issue really strongly and sort of lead to these changes. I don't know. Do you have any others you can think of that sort of fall along that line?
Kind of mentioned a lot of the good ones there.
Yeah, that's okay. I just,
yeah.
You know.
Off the top of my head, I think in terms of the crime one, like, I think Dear Zachary is like by far one of my favorites in terms of.
Yeah, that's just a great movie. I couldn't recommend that one enough. I think that's, I tell everybody about that movie, especially if they have Netflix, because I've never heard of it outside of Netflix. It was actually recommended to me through Netflix.
Yeah, same. And in terms of, you know, I don't consider myself a very like emotional person, especially in like media, but that one like definitely like drew me in and got me like feeling. So and that,
it gets to you. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like impossible not to in that one.
Very core level. Yeah. Yeah. So that's probably where we'll have to leave it here. If you want to continue the discussion, you can do so almost in any way you can imagine, maybe aside from, I don't know, smoke signals or something. You can go to the website, primeflix.tumblr.com, at primeflix on Twitter, via email, primeflix@gmail.com, or you can leave us some audio feedback if you call 414-216-FLIX. That's FLIX. So please join us again next week. My co-host will be Dean. We'll be watching the 2010 Christmas horror movie, Rare Exports. Those are two things you don't often hear in the same sentence, unless you're talking about Black Friday, I suppose. So that should be fun. Just a reminder, as a podcast, our exposure is driven by ratings from listeners like yourself. So if you listen to us through iTunes, and let's be honest, that is really sort of the market for podcasts, the major market for podcasts, we would really appreciate it if you could drop by our page there and give us a rating or a review or both. So until next week, happy streaming. We'll be right back.